I want to invite you to join with me in the prayer of confession. The Spirit of the Lord knows our every thought, word, and deed. Therefore, let us open ourselves to the Lord and confess our sins in honesty and faith. Lord, have mercy on us and shower us with grace and forgiveness.
Forgive our divisions and by your Spirit draw us together. Open our ears and our hearts to hear your word. Inflame us with the desire to do your will, for the sake of the world, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Father, I ask that as we look at your word this morning, that we would hear you speak, and that the same Spirit, your Spirit, who caused Jesus to tell this parable, caused Matthew and to record it for us, would come now to us and cause it to come alive with new impact. In Jesus' name, amen. So those questions that I was asking really are related to the message this morning as well, not just to the announcement about a need for a sound crew. I think oftentimes we make the mistake of dividing the world into kind of two categories, Christian and non-Christian. And I would like to say that's not only a bit arrogant, it's inaccurate. It's not a reflection of reality. The truth is, as one writer put it, endless gradations of good and evil, religious and irreligious, and varieties of worldviews. That's a more accurate description than just two simple categories. Even among Christians, there are many, many different shades and hues. And we ought to come to the reality, come to terms with that reality. Different brands and different kinds. And we make a mistake if we in our division, we say, well, we're us and they're them. Because the them is many. And the us isn't the only way of experiencing life, looking at life. There are also different levels of commitment, from the thoroughly devoted to the completely nominal and everyone in between. We have all of that represented here. We've got different kinds, different brands. We've got different levels of commitment. We've got different ways of seeing things, understanding things, represented right here in this room right now, even with this small group of people, let alone with the church worldwide. In this morning's parable, Jesus recognizes at least four different kinds of people. So listen for the word of the Lord. Later that day, that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. And then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. And as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. And other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" And he replied, "You're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. And for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's why I use parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend.' For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed eyes. And so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear. Their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." Then Jesus goes on, "Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." So when we try to understand a parable, we have to look at the players, if you will, the setting and the actors. So who is the sower? What is the field? What is the seed? And what is the harvest? Those are the things I want to try and address in the next few minutes. Who was present to hear this parable? Well, there were his opponents, especially those among the Jewish leaders who were hostile to Christ, even though he was part of their tribe. Then there were the larger crowds of curiosity seekers, would-be disciples who followed Jesus on and off, admired him, but in the end gave up following. Judas is there, one of the 12 inner circle who followed Jesus continually, but in the end, Judas betrays Jesus. And there are the remaining 11 disciples who followed Jesus. And among those, along with those, there were also others who followed Jesus to the bitter end, especially the women who were loyal. And then even among that inner circle of, for instance, Peter, James, and John, Peter, even he denies Christ three times. And he, along with the rest of the 11, fled at the crucifixion. It was this core of flawed followers who, after the resurrection, empowered by the Holy Spirit, spread the good news of the kingdom of God from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, making it possible for us here today to gather in his name. We are part of the result of their work to the ends of the earth. Personally, I think these different groups are the people that Jesus had in mind when he talked about the four different kinds of soil. In this story, the farmer who I think represents God in general, Jesus in particular, and Jesus' followers who do what he did. Jesus came and he basically did three things. He proclaimed the presence of the kingdom. He taught what it was to live as kingdom people. And he brought healing and wholeness into people's lives as a sign of the presence of the kingdom. And then he commissioned his disciples to do the same thing. And I believe that what the New Testament tells us is that we are called to do the same thing. We as the people of God are called to proclaim the presence of the kingdom. We are called to live as people who are part of the kingdom and teach what it is to live as kingdom people. And we also are called to bring healing and wholeness into people's lives as a sign of the presence of the kingdom. So in this story, that farmer, whoever that farmer represents, practices what is called broadcast sowing. He knows the seed will fall on different kinds of soil. After casting the seed on the ground, he would follow along and plow up the soil so that as many seeds as possible would take root. What is surprising in this story is not the methodology, but the end result. The end result is that there is soil that yields 100-fold, a huge result from his work. The sower sows in reckless abundance and receives abundance. Unlike almost all of Jesus' parables, in this one, after telling the parable, he goes on to give a summary interpretation of the story. The seed is the proclamation of God's word concerning the kingdom of God. Who is the farmer? Jesus, or anyone who takes the task of sowing the good news into the world. And the different kinds of soil represent the different kinds of people in which the seed does or does not take root. So that lets us enter into the story by asking two questions. Are we sowing along with Jesus? But it also asks the question, what kind of soil are we? What are our hearts like? What is our hearing like? Are we selective in our hearing? Are we hard of hearing? Do we not get the right amplification? Or do we just ignore, not pay attention? The seed that falls on the path represents those who never make any pretense of receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. They are not Christ followers to any observable manner. The fourth group represents the good soil, who embody those who prove to be fully devoted followers of Christ, in whom and through whom an abundant harvest of fruitfulness is born. What about the two middle groups? Jesus says the second soil, the rocky soil, is about people who receive the word with joy and enthusiasm, but there is not any lasting impact. The reception is too shallow. The third group may receive the word, but in the end, weeds and thorns of worries and cares of life and concern over riches chokes the life out of them. But the issue in all four is, how do we hear? So I ask the question again. How do we hear? The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, I don't know if it's true or apocryphal, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House. I love this when I read this. He complained that no one really paid attention to what was said. So one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who passed down the line and shook his hand, he murmured. I'm giving away the punchline. I murdered my grandmother this morning. And the guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous, keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir." It was not till the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." See, as a preacher, I wonder about that kind of thing every Sunday morning. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I don't like it when people say, "Well, that was a nice sermon." Well, okay, it wasn't meant to be nice. You know, the job of a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So, when you come on a Sunday morning and you hear the word read and you hear the kingdom of God proclaimed, is your hearing such that you say, "Good job, keep it up, nice thought, God bless you"? Or is it, "I'm sure I had it coming"? God is speaking grace to us in any number of ways. Not just in a sermon on Sunday morning. Not just through his scripture. Through our interactions with each other. Even in the world, God's grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness is being spoken to us regularly. Do we hear? Going back to the soil. Soil number one is the heart of hearing. The hard-packed soil represents the person who is indifferent to the spiritual things of the kingdom of God. The soil is smooth, flat, and hard. It's ground. It's a heart that has been compacted by traffic. It's the hard heart, beaten down by the traffic of life. Make no mistake about it. The message is not defective. The seed is not bad seed. Instead, the supposed listener does not even hear. Even more so, the issue is that he's not interested. Some of you come here on Sunday mornings because somebody else drags you here. And so you may represent that hard-packed soil. The heart just doesn't hear because you're not interested. The word makes no penetration. It goes in one ear and out the other. Which is why when you walk out the door and you've gone on to something else 5 minutes later and somebody asks you, "What was the sermon about this morning?" "Well, I don't know, but it was really good. I couldn't tell you." Soil number two, the rocky soil, represents the person whose faith is temporary, shallow. It's the person who hears with their ears, but not with their mind and heart. You know, all the stuff of the ear is working properly and the message goes in, but it doesn't penetrate the heart or the mind to any degree. The gracious good news of God does not penetrate deep into the center of their being. Any change that takes place is superficial change. It's merely on the surface. When the cost of discipleship is too high, when it challenges my own ideas about the way things ought to be, when it causes me to have to change and the cost of change is too great, no change takes place. Because the gracious good news is abandoned. And it's either abandoned for a rigid kind of legalism or it's abandoned for running off into the far country. Either we become an elder brother or a younger brother. Soil number three represents those who are distracted in your hearing. Can you identify with that? Have you ever been in a meeting where you talk about things and something is said, and then you get to the end of the meeting and somebody who's in that meeting, who's been distracted throughout that meeting, asks a question that's already been answered in that meeting? Happens to me every Tuesday morning between 9 and 11. I'm not pointing the finger because I'm part of the meeting. Preoccupied. Preoccupied with things that don't belong to the gracious word of God and his kingdom. Overcome with the worries and cares of life and concern over riches. What are some examples? I'm asking for a response here. Of the worries and cares of life. Give me an example. Children. Huh? Social media. Huh? I can't.
Finances.
I'm hard of hearing. Say that again. Finances. Right. What else? Huh? House. Politics. Health. Responsibility. I mean, the list goes on and on. These are things that represent the worries and cares of life. In 1 Peter, he says, cast all your cares and concerns on God because he cares for you. And the language he actually uses there are two different words, one of which really represents worries, and the other represents concerns. The difference between a worry and a concern is a worry is something that you cannot do anything about. A concern is something that you can do something about, and it's a legitimate thing to have on your mind. But when our worries and our concerns consume our lives, we get distracted from the good news of the grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love of God represented by his kingdom. And his kingdom is not a geographical place. His kingdom has to do with his reign, that he reigns. So we live in his kingdom. And whatever those issues are, finances, health, children, job, politics, all of those things, we can cast our cares and concerns upon him if we choose to. Or we can stop listening to the good news of the kingdom of God and listen only to our cares and concerns and the distraction of riches. Preoccupied with things like the acquirement of security and happiness, popularity, pleasure, all-around well-being. For those things are the ultimate goals of the citizens of the kingdoms of this world. These folks unwittingly fall in love with riches and are oblivious to its deceitfulness. They are also oblivious to those things' inability to satisfy the heart or bring lasting happiness. We put our ladder up against the wall and seek to climb the ladder, and then we get to the top and we find out our ladder's against the wrong wall. As a result, their faith seems to fade away as soon as other things become more important. Simply, they are people who get their priorities wrong and end up with fruitless and ungodly lives. Not because they wanted to walk down that path, but because they chose to walk down a path other than the kingdom of God. Soil number four, good soil, represents those who hear completely. Their ears are open, their heart is open. Their mind is open, and not only open, but embracing. The result is abundant fruit. In the Bible, fruit is all about life. Sometimes we interpret a parable like this or something about fruit, and I think Kathy may have said something about this last week. As new Christians, that's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about the fruit of a transformed life. In Psalm 1, the psalmist said, "The godly person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." In Galatians 5, Paul says, "The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control." There's no law against these things. And John 15 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." The fruit that Jesus is talking about, that Paul is talking about, that the psalmist is talking about, is the fruit of a transformed life. Where the stuff like anger and rage that holds us trapped is pruned away and replaced by love. John, one of Jesus' disciples, was a man of anger. But by the end of his life, his reputation was that he was the disciple of love, because that transformation had taken place in his life. Because the word went not only into his ears, but into his heart and into his mind. The fruit is a transformed life, a life that exhibits the life of the kingdom of God, a life that resembles Jesus' life, a life that is marked by grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, compassion. One of the implications of this parable is that unlike the soil on the ground, we have a choice as to how we hear. I mean, the dirt is dirt. I can yell at it all I want. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to do anything. Not on its own. But we do have the opportunity to change. We can actually determine what kind of soil we are and how our hearts hear. We can't make the seed do anything other than what the seed does. But we can determine what kind of soil we are. So what can we do? Hosea 10:12 says to Israel, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you." What does it mean to break up your fallow ground? It means plowing, getting rid of rocks, pulling up the weeds, giving ourselves to the Lord through spiritual disciplines of scripture and prayer and worship and community and service, contemplation and study. Anything that puts our lives in a posture that is open to God and his gracious speaking. Attending our hearts and minds in such a way that we open ourselves to all that God has to do for us. And sometimes that means healing. Before we go to the Lord's table, I would like to pray for all of us, or whoever wants prayer. I'm going to ask you to do something that may feel uncomfortable to you. And if it feels too uncomfortable, just pass. You know, just say to the person next to you, "I pass. It's okay. There's no guilt here. It's just if you want this prayer." If you want this prayer, I want you to ask the person who's seated near you. And if you're not seated near someone, then move your body and get near someone. And put your hand, have them put their hand over your ear. And you put your hand over their ear. This is called the laying on of hands for healing. Lord Jesus, even as you touched blind eyes and opened stuck ears, I pray for every person here that you would bring healing to their hearts and minds. That if they have been trampled by life, and there's a hardness, I pray that you would break up that ground for them. If there's a shallowness to their lives, I pray that this morning would be the start of a new day for them that causes them to receive your word deeply. If the cares and concerns of life have overwhelmed them, I pray, Lord, that in this hearing this morning, you would do a marvelous work of grace so that every person represented here would become good soil that produces fruit 100-fold, which is the fruit of your character. By your Spirit, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.